I want to get to two emails that came in overnight, and this is in direct response to what we were talking about yesterday. It was a good conversation, a good bit of a ding-dong going on, because it really is a sort of, it's a discussion that you're either black or you're either white on it, and that's all about under-10s. It was this manager that was actually fired for telling the under-10s team that he was the manager of, that it's all about winning. Forget about all that stuff of everyone gets their game. Everyone's not going to get their game. You'll only get your game if you're good enough. You've got to turn up for training every single week, and it's all about winning, winning, winning. That is the mentality. Parents got a little bit upset by him, and he could then got fired. And we were just wondering, was he right or were the parents right? A very interesting discussion yesterday about that, where some parents believing, you know what, you've got to start telling kids by about the age of 9 or 10, they know about winning, so get them involved in winning. While others saying, no, that is wrong, that's not the way to deal with kids, let them just get their technique right and the rules of the football right, and then from about 14 onwards, we'll get that winning mentality into them. So different opinions yesterday. Here's an email that came in. Colin, imagine you're undertaking a fairly difficult task, assembling a piece of furniture with hieroglyphic instructions, setting up the new DVD player to the TV, or trying to get the last piece of wallpaper to match behind the radiator. Think it would help if someone yelled at you during the process? Of course not. Yet when a child tries to control a bouncing ball in a crowd of other kids, adults often believe it's perfectly acceptable to scream advice at them. The shouting heard at our football pitches is so epidemic, one wonders if adults even reflect on their behaviour. Adults who would never shout at children while they're enjoying the playground, or drawing in a colouring book, or playing a computer game. We loudly instruct them from the sidelines, though, without hesitation. When adults scream from the sidelines, they're not just invading the children's playtime, they're preventing children from learning the game of football in a natural manner. The shouting is detrimental to the children's development as football players, and at worst can turn them off the sport entirely. If parents want to help their children become better football players, they can offer to kick the ball around with them in the backyard. But sideline instructions deny children a chance to make their own decisions. It stifles their creative instincts, and all too often, the instructions are misguided. Please think of this next time you're at a match. Keep all your comments constructive. Well done, good play, rather than any specific instruction. Do not openly criticise any player for making a mistake. Remember, the freedom to make that mistake is as important as that of learning. Okay, and here's another one. Colin, this is another email that came in. Schoolboy soccer is disgraceful. There is no development in it. The kids have the most stressful day of the week on match days. Parents shouting at them, coaches belittling them, even in the so-called premier clubs. Fights breaking out, referees letting clubs away with the carry-on too, and God knows what goes on in the car when the kids are going home. Kids need to be coached well, and the coaches and parents need to behave or go home and let the kids play on game days. Kids are being told they're rubbish, etc., and they're being slagged off, and it's not unusual on any Saturday or Sunday match. You see it all over Dublin. The kids need to develop with technique through coaching to become the next generation of good players and be respectful to their teammates. All kids want to win by nature. They don't need anyone slagging them off when they don't. These people with the win and shouting technique are just destroying the kids and any future potential they have. We need positive coaching for kids to become better. And there's one more. This came in as a text yesterday. Colm, in response to all those who say kids don't like competitive games, I suggest they go to any school playground to see the kids and see the games the kids invent and play of their own accord. There is always a winner. There is always a loser. Think of it. Tic tag, hide and seek, and the games of football played in every schoolyard. Kids love competition. I think it's about finding out what kids are good at and letting them compete. There you go. Yesterday's conversation is still resonating. It was a very interesting discussion we had yesterday about under-10s when they're playing football. Should under-10s, when they start and when they join a football team, should they be encouraged all about the skills and not about the competitive end, or should the competitive end come in? Yesterday and still today, even in emails, people completely disagreeing with each other. Some saying, look, kids, they know all about competition. At 9 years of age, they know all about winning or losing. So maybe we need to instill that into them at an early stage as well, because they know that's what it's all about. Others saying, no, it's not. It's about developing their skills, developing their sports personality, I suppose, as well, developing their confidence. And John Devine is director of football with South Dublin Football League, and he is spearheading a new development programme. John, how are you?
Good morning.
Many people actually, when we were talking about this yesterday, texted to say, have a chat with John Devine, because he this new initiative that's going out at the moment. What is it? What way are you training under-10s? Firstly, do you agree with the guy that was fired, the manager that was fired for under-10s, for trying to promote the winning ethos?
Absolutely. I've no time for that business. We're talking about young children here. When I played on the street as a child, I played for fun. I had no interference from adults, and I made mistakes, and I learned how to rectify those mistakes myself. Mm. Somewhere along the line, we have a competitive edge in Ireland that 7- and 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds are playing in competitive leagues, which have league tables, promotion and relegation, which adds pressure to managers who think they're Alex Ferguson. Now, I'd like to say one thing. There's a lot of good parents and good coaches out there, volunteers. But with this method, you have inappropriate pitches. They're too big. They have too big goals that the children have no chance. They're set in positions, and they have yell and tell culture, which is the big problem on the sidelines. So there's a lot of inappropriate poor practice there involved with the competitive ages at 7, 8, 9 in this country. And what we've done is we've gone away from the fundamentals of passing, control, dribbling, and maybe soccer intelligence and awareness, which they learn on the streets, and we've gone back to trying to win, the winning mentality. It's too much pressure on children. They have no fun, and when they get to 15, it's a known fact that most of them give up the game, because they can now talk to the parents and the adults and say, listen, I've had enough of this. I don't want to play anymore. So we're not developing players. And only last week, Robbie Keane mentioned that he was home and he was shocked when he went out to one of his local games at the level of abuse being screamed at children on the basis that they need to win. So we need to get away from that, in my eyes. I've designed a guided discovery development program, which is non-competitive. Mm. It's fun for the children. It has the appropriate side pitches. So basically, at under 7s and 8s, they're playing on 28 by 22 size pitches. When they go 5-a-side then, they go to 35 by 25, and then they go to 7-a-side, 60 by 40. So they have appropriate size pitches all the way through till they're 18. There's three different phases. So the fundamental phase is all about passing, control and dribbling. No pressure on the children. And the adults have a viewing area behind the goal where they just turn up and support the children very calmly, whereas in the other sense, they're actually screaming abuse at the children. And the last thing is that we mix the players in. So it takes away that actual violence on the pitch. We have games being cancelled at 7, 8, and 9 years of age by referees because of parents and adults, not just parents, adults screaming. And there's a lot of good ones there, but a lot of bad ones. And they're screaming at the children, they're screaming at the opposition. So the role models for children is very, very poor. And the most important thing then is the guided discovery method is questions and answers. So the coach doesn't even shout onto the pitch. When their children come off for a little break, they have questions and answers to solve their own problems. So it's pure fun, and also through small little games in the right appropriate areas, they develop awareness and soccer intelligence as well at the same time.
The one thing I think is interesting, and I'm looking at this, is the 3-on-3 games, which is a big thing, I would imagine, because that means that, you know, one kid at that age, under 7, gets so much more on the ball than they normally do, because quite often when you see under 7 and under 8-year-olds playing, be it in soccer or be it in Gaelic, they are basically just chasing a ball for 20 minutes and they never actually get near the ball.
Absolutely. Look, it's a known fact in the higher echelons of coaching that a child to reach top professional levels is 10,000 hours with contact with the ball.
Nice.
Now, in these games with 3v3 leading into 5v5, they will have an opportunity every 3 seconds to encounter the ball. So they've actually got 70% more touches of the ball. There's no subs like in 7-a-side football, which is currently in favour, where there's 3 subs on each side. That's 6 kids who don't even get a game. And when they do go on, they might go on for 5 minutes once the game is 4-0 and the manager can win the game. So that's unfair on 6 children that never get an opportunity. In my games, they play equal playing time for every player, 70% more touches of the ball, and their confidence is sky high.
What stage then do you say to these kids, okay, now it's going to get competitive? I mean, as we were talking about yesterday, kids 7, 8, 9 years of age, they're following the soccer. Like last night was a particularly big night in the Premiership. You know, United supporters will have seen that those guys drop down, and you know, so they know it's all about winning and losing. And then they go down to play the 3-on-3, and there's nothing about winning or losing. Who's better than that? So when do you think you should start bringing that in?
when they have the basic fundamentals for starters. We've got the cart before the horse. We're playing competitive games with children who are being screamed at because they can't control and pass the ball. So they're being negative from the sidelines from the start. We need to firstly get the fundamentals right and then introduce them how to play to win the game. So that comes later. That comes later on, 11 years upwards. They start being introduced slowly to it. So by the time they're 13, then they realise that we're in a game to win here. There's a league here. We have a referee here to sort the problems out. But now I'm capable of controlling and passing the ball. So that's
do you think it's I mean, at 13 and 14, is it going late to get that sort of that winning instinct into kids?
No, I tell you the opposite, the total opposite. Right now, Robbie Keane said last week that there's not one player behind that he has to fear coming through to question his his position, which means we are not producing top class players because we're not looking after the fundamentals. So I say to all the people who say competition is the only way, you failed. It hasn't worked. For the last 10 or 15 years you've been using these systems, we haven't produced players. There's only two players played for the Irish under-21s against the Faroe Islands 2 weeks ago. Home-based players. The rest were all from the granny rule. Yeah. We are not producing players at home. So to these guys who think that competition is the only way, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. We need change. Now, I'll say one thing to you. I want to win more than anybody.
Yeah.
But at the appropriate time and the appropriate age. If I send two children for a bottle of milk, they're going to race to get there and see who wins. If I play 3v3, they can still try and beat each other, but we just don't keep records.
Mm.
They're still competitive, but they don't keep records for fair.
Okay, have you seen, when will we see if this system is much more effective than the other systems? I mean, because it's the last couple of years, really. So do you imagine we're going to see a lot more Irish-born, homegrown players playing for the Republic of Ireland soccer team?
I have no doubts whatsoever that this system will work. I've seen it work in Essence many years ago, and it wasn't really paid any attention to. We've now come full cycle 10 years later, and we still haven't produced, and we're getting further and further away from Belgium, who are outside hopes for the World Cup. They went back 12 years ago after 2000 and revamped their whole system, and the kids learned the game, the technical elements of the game, and the intelligence side of the game as well, and they've gone back, and now they're reaping the rewards, and they'll have that good times for the next 20 years, unless we change and go back and realise the competitive side does not work, we're lacking in fundamentals and soccer awareness. Unless we change it quickly, we're going to be left even further behind, and we need to start instantly now, and the sooner we get on the train, the better, and then we can see the rewards in a few years.
Do you think this will also benefit the Premier League here in Ireland?
Absolutely. That's one of the big spin-offs for this.
To try and get into Europe.
Absolutely. Let me say this. The 90% of the children who are playing are going to play for fun for life. The 5 or 10% of the elite players can be seen in this very quickly and then taken to another level, which is phase two. The majority of the kids will stay in Ireland, will still play the game, but will be far more equipped to play at Leinster Senior level or League of Ireland level at a much higher level and probably attract people back into the game. So the whole game as a unit will develop from grassroots all the way to full international level, I have no doubt.
One of the things that you mentioned a couple of times, and I was a mentor in Gaelic down in Kilmacud Croaks for many years, and one of the biggest interferences, definitely, without doubt, was the parents on the side of the pitch who were convinced that they knew their Johnny should be up scoring goals rather than being in goals, and that was always an issue. And if you remove that, absolutely, it takes a huge amount of pressure. But so you're saying remove that and also remove that wanting to win. Do you know,
I've never said no, nobody. That's what I just said. Yeah. I want to win more than anybody.
Yeah.
The children in 3v3 still want to win the game. They still keep scores in their minds, but it's not recorded.
But do you encourage them, so you still are encouraging them to be better than the guy who's coming at him for the ball? In other words, if I've got the ball, I have to be a better player than the guy, the defender, to hang on to that ball and maybe to get past him and score. So you still are teaching that there is a league as such of skills, and if you're better than him, you'll get around him and score a goal.
Well, that's exactly how Barcelona play. They try and create 1v1s because they realise that the fundamentals, the grassroots that they've laid the foundations for in the first place, allows their players to be better equipped to beat the guy in front of him one-on-one. So they create 1v1s through those fundamentals, and then they win more than they lose. Look at all the key people who've won the game. They've all gone back to these methods. So we have to look at what's going around the world. But I've designed this specifically for the Irish game and the long-term prospect of the Irish game. I want to win more than anybody, but at the right and appropriate time. And I'd like the kids to have the right fundamentals for us to be able to win the game.
So is this rolled out, John, in most of the clubs now? Or do, I know it's you're involved with the South Dublin Football League. Is it starting to roll out across Ireland?
Well, what it is, basically, we started a pilot scheme 18 months ago with six teams, and people who were highly competitive start seeing the rewards, all their children playing the game, equal playing time, the confidence going high. We've now got 60 teams playing in the South Dublin. I came back from Wicklow last week with Jimmy Hackett, from the chairman down there, and he brought me into 64 coaches, I think it was, at it. Yeah. And I'm getting response from Galway, Limerick, Waterford, Cork, Donegal, Mayo. There's lots of interest asking me to do seminars. I'm inundated with requests. But what I need now is I need some backing on this, and I need some help. It's ready to go, and if we delay, and I'm tired of hearing about committees and think tanks and all that. We've had four or five of those. We need to get on the train very quickly, and I'd love to get the backing of the FAI. I'm there to help them. I've met Rude Doctor, and I said anything I can do to help you to roll this out or on those lines with you, I'm there available to do it, because I know it works. It's already proven it's worked, because we've already had one season where the parents, the coaches and the players are all saying they've improved.
They like it. Okay, let me just bring in Pauline. How are you, Pauline?
Hi, how are you?
Your son is involved in Rathcoole Boys.
It's actually my daughter.
So you're doing
she's the only daughter, only girl on the team of all boys.
Okay.
And they are doing the 3v3 on under 8 now. It's their second year of doing it.
And do you see it as a benefit? Do you see it working?
I think it's been brilliant for her, because, and for all of the kids, it's taught them and they listen to their coaches, the skills they have. I also have a son who's 14, and her skills at his at that age are way ahead of what he had at that age.
Really?
Brilliant, because at the age of 7 when he was playing, they were like a shoal of fish, just all of them running at the ball, up and down the pitch. There was no skills, they had no positions. And whereas now, even though they're only 7, 8-year-olds, they're holding positions, they're learning skills about passing and dribbling, and they have a huge higher level of respect for each other, I think, and the coaches than I saw before.
And you've seen John has been out working with your team.
Pardon?
John Devine has been out with yourselves.
He's been out to the club, to talk to his parents. The coaches have been to him in the SDFL. He's come out and spoken to the kids.
Yeah.
And he's hugely passionate about it, and the kids can sense it in him, I think, as well. And they get excited by it, you know.
Okay, listen, Pauline, thanks for the endorsement there. Mick, how are you?
How's it going, Colin?
Mick, you've seen this in your club as well.
Yeah, we were one of the first clubs to join with John Devine.
Right.
In the 3v3. And it's just phenomenal that the kids have, the way they've come on.
So you've seen it in a matter of how many months or what have you seen the difference?
So I'd say you start seeing a difference after, say, about 8 weeks.
Really?
You see them learning more, yeah, definitely. Like, there was a lad that started with us. Now, he couldn't kick snow off the rope, basically.
Yeah.
But he's probably one of the best kids up there now.
And do you get it from, when you talk to the kids afterwards, do they prefer this way? Do they feel they're getting more out of it?
Well, some of them, this is the only way they've done it, you know what I mean? They haven't played competitive football, which is the best way to get them at that age.
Okay. So you're fully behind this as well?
110%.
All right, Mick, listen, thanks for the call.
No problem.
Okay, there's just a straw poll or two, John, that seemed to be behind. Actually, I'll be very interested in this, because again, when I was a mentor, and it was like under 9s, under 10s in Gaelic, it was all competitive, it was all about winning, it was all about chasing, it was all about shouting at the kids, it was all about, you know, the A, the B's and the C's, and we did pretty well, but, you know, this is a different system. Just a matter, well, I have you on, John, just a matter of interest, last night, I just think, was such an important night in the Premiership, some amazing results. What do you think of Man United? How has that suddenly changed?
Well, look, I mean, you've got I've worked for Manchester United for 10 years as academy director under Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I know the man. The man is he's a genius.
Yeah.
He's probably the best manager that ever existed. It's going to be hard for any manager to fill those boots. He has a new team he's coming into. He's a few new players. In any club, it's going to take time, but there's huge pressure on him, obviously, to produce immediately. He's got to hit the ground running. It's been a little bit up and down at the moment, but you know he has to have time. Alex Ferguson was nearly sacked after a few games, if you remember, game. So I think we've got to give him a little bit more time. Let's say this is a massive job, a massive undertaking with huge pressure on a daily basis. They will get there eventually, but it's going to take time.
I think it's fascinating that it's such a huge club. The team isn't completely different to the one that won last year. You know, supporters are the same, establishment is the same, the backroom boys are the same. Just this one, I know the manager is very important. He is the general, basically, of the army. And you can just see this huge, profound effect. And I mean, last night for David Moyes, for Everton to go to Old Trafford and beat United 1-0, I just think that's a huge game changer for this season.
Well, it is for Man United, but also you have to respect the fact that, he was the one who instigated the whole change and revolution at Everton and got those players in. So he left great foundations for, and I don't think he was being derogatory to the other manager. I think he just meant, look, you've picked up a good baton there. I've left a good place in good shape now. And they're playing very good football, and they did last year as well, Everton. So they're a team to be reckoned with as well. You know, they're going to be hard to beat.
But in saying that, if David Moyes says to Robin Martinez, you've picked up a baton and a good team, people could say the same about David Moyes. He picked up one of the best teams in the world.
Absolutely, it's a great point. But unfortunately, he didn't pick it up in the biggest club in the world.
Yeah, true enough.
You know, so there's a lot of pressure there, you know, but I think you get there.
Listen, good talking to you, John. Really interesting. Thanks very much for taking the call.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Take care of yourself. That's John Devine, of course, former Arsenal and Republic of Ireland star. And John is now with the South Dublin Football League. And the programme is called the Vision for the Future of Irish Football programme. That is interesting. I've got to say, that's very interesting. While I might have been behind the winning mentality all the time, I do remember back when you would have 13 players or 12 players or whatever on your Gaelic team. And basically, they were all just chasing the same ball. And it was like sheep just running around. And the parents screaming and shouting at you on the sidelines. The good old days.
This is 2FM.